But while we're on the subject of wildlife, crows seem to appear regularly in this edition of Let's Talk, and I have no idea why. And before you jump to any conclusions, crow is not the word of the month. Our first reference to crows is in an article about James Took Coe, the boy crow scarer who rose to become a man of national fame and importance. Derek James wrote about James Took Coe this month, and here is Sam Elmhurst to read Derek's tribute.
I often wish I had met the people it is a privilege to write about, and one is a remarkable gentleman who lived in historic Castle Acre in Norfolk all his life. Alderman James Took Coe, MBE, JP, was born in 1885 and died in 1967, and he became a legend in his own lifetime. With his trademark moustache and pipe, he was the workers' champion. He was the first national organiser of the National Union of Agricultural Workers. And how did he get about and travel the country in those far-off days? On his bike. And while I never met him, the man who introduced me to his life and times is Richard Watson, and he knows more than most about him. James was his grandfather. As Richard says, he was a man of honour, wisdom and integrity, and his story about him is a compelling read. When he died at the age of 82, the vicar at his memorial service in Castle Acre, the Reverend J. H. Bloom, said the large congregation testified to the esteem with which Mr. Coe was held, starting life in a simple way in the village and ending with honour and the admiration of so many. He was a very straight and humble man, slow to be roused, never bearing a grudge, a man who could take a back seat as well as a front one, and who won respect from people of various outlooks and background. And so, thanks to Richard, let's take a look at why so many people loved and respected James Took Coe, a man of whom the whole of Norfolk and Suffolk can be so proud. Born on October the 18th, 1885, his parents were Harriet, maiden name Took, and James Coe. He had three sisters, Mabel, Ethel and Dorothy, and a brother, Walter. James left the village school at the age of just 11 and went to work on the land, firstly as a crow scarer or crow starver, progressing to a carter's wagoner's boy at the age of 19. A carter was a horseman, ploughman, teamster, wagoner, and was entirely responsible for the care of horses under his control and making sure they were looked after well and taken to work and back. It was 1906 that young James joined the newly formed National Agricultural Labourers and Rural Workers Union when the legendary George Edwards of the Eastern Counties Agricultural Labourers Union spoke in Castle Acre. In 1910, he became the first organiser for the union, covering not only Norfolk, but many other parts of rural England. And at the end of the year, he married Ethel May Ketteringham in Castle Acre, of course. And these were difficult times for farm labourers. Work was hard, and while pay was low, there were strikes, and James became a leader of men and dedicated his life to representing them. And soon after taking office, he was helping striking farm workers in Lancashire. He probably got there by cycling from Norfolk. Some of the farm owners in Essex began locking out and evicting labourers who had joined the union. They were asking for 15 shillings a week and hours of work from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a half day on a Saturday. In 1913, he was elected to Freebridge Lynn Rural District Council and was elected a guardian of the Gayton Workhouse. War was looming, and between 1914 and 1918, James was, private number 507469.661, Agricultural Boy Labour Corps. James and Ethel had a daughter, Mary Muriel, and bought a house in Castle Acre for the sum of £310. And to say James was a busy man is rather an understatement. Let's have a look at just some of the roles he took on while representing farm workers far and wide. In 1930, he was appointed as a magistrate to the Grimston Bench, and the following year he was elected to Norfolk County Council, representing the Southern Freebridge Lynn Division. And then, in 1934, he was appointed to the King's Lynn and District War Pensions Committee, and during the same year attended the TUC Conference, which celebrated a century since the days of the Tolpuddle Martyrs. Try to imagine what this gentleman was like, riding across the country on his cycle, fighting for the rights of the farm workers, and sitting as a magistrate representing his people in the Norfolk County Council Chamber and on the Rural District Council. In 1941, their daughter Mary married Thomas, a police officer from Necton in Norfolk. And 2 years later, son Thomas was born, and in 1945, Richard arrived. And meanwhile, Grandad continued to serve the community in so many different ways. Following the end of the Second World War, he was praised by the Minister of Agriculture and Fisheries for his service to the nation, helping to raise production on farms to a new, high level. He was elected a county alderman in 1946, and following his retirement in 1950, he was appointed a member of the British Empire. It is from newspaper cuttings and letters collected by Richard that you get a real flavour of what made this amazing man tick. The rich and the poor, the old and the young, they all admired and respected him. And when he finally retired from his job in 1950, the tributes flowed thick and fast, honest and genuine words which let us all know a little more about James. His life and times were described so well by North Norfolk MP and President of the National Union of Agricultural Workers, Edwin Gooch. He told how Jim Coe had cycled thousands of miles, attended hundreds of meetings, often in the remotest part of England and Wales. I first came to know Jim well when he had discarded the push bike and travelled by motorcycle. If the cycling was hard work, the motorcycling in the winter was cold work. It used to be a standing joke about Jim that when he arrived at a meeting after a journey of many miles in frost and snow, he did not hang up his coat on the peg, but stood it in the corner. Jim Coe's work for the union in the early days was invaluable. He could talk as farm worker to farm worker, and he was a doughty fighter, a capable negotiator. He could handle a rowdy meeting and keep it going for hours if necessary, added Edwin. I suppose he made some enemies, but I never met any of them. I do know that he made a host of friends, and no man is more trusted by farm workers, said the MP. If any had any problems, they would be told to ask old Jimmy. He'll know. And he did. The pages of the local papers were full of tributes to him, with people saying he would not only be missed in Norfolk and Suffolk, but across the whole country and Wales. Grandson Richard was staying with him one day in 1959 when there was a knock on the door. It was his old friend Dick Joyce who had come to see the man he called Uncle Jimmy. He needed his help. He had been asked to present a programme on Anglia Television called Farming Diary, and he was very nervous, and he wanted him to join him on the first show to both contribute and support him. And he was happy to oblige. When James retired as a magistrate in 1960, the then Lord Lieutenant of Norfolk, Sir Edmund Bacon, said, "It is with great regret that we have to say goodbye to the fair judgment you have always shown in all things, and we cannot be more grateful to you for all you have done." Just before his death in 1967, he was invited to be a Deputy Lieutenant of Norfolk. That was the Castle Acre boy from Crow Scarer to high office. If you had met James Tookoe, then you were one of the lucky ones. I wish I had. And I would like to thank grandson Richard for telling his story.
Thank you, Sam.